familiar story. Yeah, for some of us at least. Another story that might be familiar to you, the story of Johnny Erickson, who was an active teenager until one day she had a misguided dive, a misjudged dive into the Chesapeake Bay. And when Johnny emerged from the water, she emerged a quadriplegic with no use of her arms or hands or legs or feet. She spent 2 years in rehab trying to get whatever strength she could possibly get out of her body back. And she said those 2 years were filled with anger, doubt, depression, a lot of asking, why? Today, Johnny Erickson Tada has a ministry called Johnny and Friends, which is a ministry dedicated to extending the love and message of Jesus Christ to people who are affected by disability around the world. How many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada? A number of you. Yeah, she has a radio program. Some of our friends have been deeply affected by Johnny and Friends and their ministry, and they have camps where families with children with disabilities can come and not have to worry about what families with children with disabilities have to worry about everywhere else they go. It's a wonderful ministry. And I think the story of Johnny Erickson Tada is such a beautiful story because God took Johnny's story and turned it into her ministry. And as we embark on this process of discovering what is God's purpose for our lives, what is God doing? What, you know, why am I here? Sometimes we think, you know, I don't really have much to offer for a variety of reasons. As we embark on this journey to figure out what is God's purpose for my life, this is where we begin. God turns your story into your ministry. God turns your story into your ministry. And I think we're going to see that in three ways as we look at Moses' early life. There are three movements in this story that we read this morning that are going to, we see how God uses them to then later on prepare him, call him to his greater ministry that we all know Moses for. So the first movement in Moses' story where we see God's hand at work preparing him is in his deliverance of Moses. We read the end of chapter 1 where it said that Pharaoh had commanded that all Hebrew boys should be killed because the Hebrew people in Egypt had become so numerous, they thought they were kind of taking over and going to gain power in their country of Egypt. And so Pharaoh says, all right, we're going to put a stop to this. We're going to kill all of the baby boys. So Moses seems destined to die. But what happens? What happens? His mother and family put him in a basket in the water and among the reeds and leave him to God, essentially. And sure enough, God delivers Moses from this death sentence that was on his life even before he even was conscious of the world around him. And I want you to notice how this prepares Moses for his ministry. In chapter 2, verse 5, we read, "The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river." And then at the end in verse 10, she says, "I drew him out of the water." Skip ahead a chapter as God then calls Moses at the burning bush. This is what God says to Moses in chapter 3, verse 8. "I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and broad land." You see how exactly what happened to Moses, his story was of being destined to die and being brought up out of the river of death. And what does God say he's going to do through Moses? Come down and bring up the Israelites out of slavery and into a new land. The name Moses means to draw out. What does God do through Moses? Draws the people of Israel out of Egypt and takes them into the promised land. God is turning his story of deliverance, Moses' story of deliverance, into a story of deliverance for the whole Hebrew people. Second movement in the story is a movement of compassion. And if you look at Pharaoh's daughter, who eventually takes him in, verse 6 says, when she opened the basket, she saw the child. He was crying and took pity on her, on him. Well, what happens a chapter later when the Israelites are crying out to God? God says, the Lord said, I have seen the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings. And so just as Moses came to know a woman of compassion, Pharaoh's daughter, this isn't even an Israelite. This isn't one of God's people. This is someone who was created in the image of God, who in this moment was imaging God's compassion to the child Moses. And I think this prepares Moses to hear God's words of compassion for his people of Israel. Just as Pharaoh's daughter heard his cries and saw his misery and had compassion on him, so God hears the cries of the people of Israel, sees their misery, and has compassion on them. Moses is prepared to be an agent of God's compassion because he was raised by one. And there's just a side note here, I think, because we don't know much about Pharaoh's daughter, but what we do know is that she images God in this story. She is an image of God's compassion. And we cannot take lightly what it means when the Bible says that we are created in the image of God. This is there's a Latin phrase that is a core doctrine of the Christian church, the Imago Dei. We are created in God's image. What does that mean? It doesn't mean we physically look like God. It does mean that we in some way represent God to the world. Each one of us is created in God's image, and we cannot take lightly the opportunity that we have with our lives to represent who God is to people around us, to our children and grandchildren, to our sisters and brothers, to our neighbors, to our friends, to people we work with. Wherever we go, we are in some way given the opportunity to image who God is to those people. And sometimes it works for the worse. Sometimes people see us, sometimes people have seen the church when we haven't been at our best and thought, well, if that's what God's like, I don't know. But we do have the opportunity as individuals and as the church to say this is what God is like, to be the flesh and blood of God at work in the world. So let's remember that and ask ourselves, what opportunities do I have this week to image God, to be an image of God's compassion and grace and truth and justice? When people look at me, what are they seeing? Are they seeing God's face? So that's the second movement, this movement of compassion that is such a central part of Moses' early life and then becomes a part of the ministry that Moses is called to. And then third movement is that Moses grows up between two worlds. In verse 7, we see that Pharaoh's daughter is with one of her servants, and the servant asks the Pharaoh, should I go get this child's mother? And sure enough, Moses is raised by his mother for the first few years of life. It was probably the first 3 or 4 years that she would nurse him and raise him. And so Moses hears the Hebrew stories, the story of God's promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and how God worked through Joseph mightily to save Egypt from a famine. Moses grew up hearing these stories from his mother. But then at about 3 or 4, he goes back to the royal palace and is raised by Pharaoh's daughter as her son. And so he becomes acquainted with the stories and the ways of Egypt. He lives between these two worlds. And what is his ministry? To speak to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, on behalf of the Hebrew people. Do you see how God was preparing Moses for this ministry that he called him to? I mean, who else would even have access to the royal court besides the one who was raised in it? God God's fingerprints are all over Moses' story from the beginning. And it comes around full circle when Moses, or when God shows up to Moses in that burning bush. I think this in between, living in between two worlds, goes even further though, because not only does Moses, is he the kind of the bridge between the Egyptians and the Hebrews, he's also the bridge between God and God's people. Moses is the first high priest, the first priest. And a priest is a go-between. A priest is someone who speaks to one party and then goes back to the other party and shares what that first party said and then hears the second party and goes back to the first party. That's what a priest does. That's what a priest is. And that is what Moses does. He was raised to live between two worlds, and his ministry, even after they come out of Egypt, is to be a go-between between God and the Hebrew people, bringing their cries to God and God's word to the people. This is what Moses does. He lives between these two worlds. And so his story, again, prepares him for his ministry. God's deliverance, God's compassion, this priestly ministry are all a part of Moses' story that God turns into Moses' ministry. And God also does something else with Moses' story. And it's way bigger than Moses could have even imagined. Because through Moses, God makes a promise to the Hebrew people. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses speaks these very words. He says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen." And so, Moses, or the Hebrew people, for years and years and years were waiting for God to fulfill this promise. They were waiting for someone like Moses that God would raise up. They were waiting for God again to hear their cries and know their sufferings and take pity on them. They were waiting for someone who would be a go-between so that our human voices might be heard in the royal throne room and that God's voice might be heard by humankind. They were waiting for one who would come down to draw us up out of our slavery to all of the things we are enslaved for and raise us up to become children of the King. Does that sound like anyone you know? A prophet like Moses, who would be God's compassion, who would be the agent of God's deliverance, who would take humankind out of slavery and allow them to be raised as children of the King. Moses was a simple human being like you and me. But God turned Moses' story, his story that involves God's compassion and deliverance in the Exodus, into a glimpse of what God was going to do for all of creation through Jesus Christ. Moses is what we call a type of Jesus. And if we look through the whole Old Testament, as we look at Moses and Abraham and David and Joseph and Daniel, and the list goes on as we look at these characters in their stories, we are seeing a glimpse of the story of Jesus Christ, by which God was going to save and deliver and heal the world. God turned Moses' story into his ministry and turned his ministry into something that pointed the world to Jesus. And God turns your story into your ministry and your ministry into something that gives the world a glimpse of who Jesus is as well. So what is your story? What's your story? Is it just random events that have happened? Have you given thought to how God has been at work in your story? And those things, especially those things that you thought, that can't be right. That's a mistake. There is no way that God was in on that. And maybe God didn't cause it, but that doesn't mean God can't use it. Romans, Paul says, God works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Whatever it is that has happened in your life, God can turn it into a ministry that shows the world the love of Christ. So next week, we're going to look more closely at our stories. You're going to have an opportunity within worship to really start to look at what those events of your life and hopefully have your eyes opened a little more to see, oh, I see what God was doing there. And I see how this has given me the opportunity to bring God's message, God's love, God's grace, God's story to someone else. But we must remember this morning that Moses was an ordinary person like us. And that God's purpose in Moses' ordinary life is the same as God's purpose for our ordinary lives. To turn our stories into ministries that lead others into the love of Christ. Let's pray. God, there are some extraordinary things about Moses' story. We acknowledge this. But we also acknowledge that Moses was unlikely in so many ways to do the great things you did through him. Moses was a vessel that would shine the spotlight on you for your great work in delivering God's in your people. And God, we pray that you would help us to find our ministry, to find what you are doing through us, not so that we people will look at us, but so that people will know you and come to love you and follow you and serve you and find your work in their story and find their ministry through that, so that others can know Jesus and continue on and on and on until the world has seen and heard and felt your good news through your people. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, our great high priest. Amen.